Good morning. That's always the preacher way of asking, am I on? That and praying, that helps you quieten down. Good morning. There we go. It's always competing with the noises and the voices in my head. Let it be said before we start recording for the online broadcast that this is my favorite service. So thank you for coming. It's wonderful to have you here. Right, if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to open up to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah. I don't know if you've heard the phrase, humble brag. I know the age demographic might be a little too high here. Humble brag. Another one of the colloquial slang that's very trendy at the moment is sorry, not sorry. Kind of falls in the same category as humble brag. Well, in Scripture, we have our own Bible verse that falls into that category, and it's this. I believe, help my unbelief. And we've come face to face with that quite a few times over the last few weeks as we've dug through the book of Colossians, especially when we reached the statement that Christ is enough. I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah, I believe, yes. I mean, I've preached it, but I've seen in your eyes. Help my unbelief. I know, I can see in the looks, you're making notes. Yes, this is a life-changing, breathtaking, earth-shattering statement. Christ is enough. I believe, but help my unbelief. And it's almost like as we've been digging in Colossians, we've come across this rock that we bumped our head against, that Christ is enough. And so we've been discussing over the last few weeks, you know, we've been going around this element of Colossians, and we've been discussing how to mine through this rock to get to the gold, which is why we're going to be starting this new series, For Unto Us. Because what we want to do is, if we can get that from here to here, that Christ is enough, if we can enter into 2021 knowing, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and our hands, and every step that we take is taken with this Christ who is enough, imagine what 2021 will look like. So we're going to push pause on Colossians, we're going to dig deep, get to the gold, and we're going to do so through Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, one verse in the Bible that we're going to spend the next month on, because this is how much digging we're going to do. And it says the following, this is Isaiah 9 verse 6, reading out of the NIV, it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, his name will be, he will be known as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And he will be called. His name will be. We don't really get the weightiness of names in Scripture. Before we get to the first one this week, we don't really get it because we're kind of dislocated from the ancient Near East where this was such a weighty thing. Yeah, there's maybe some unwritten rules that we know of. If you have had kids and if you've had to choose names, you would know. Although no one told you, you would know deep inside the recesses of your heart that you don't name your children after a former boyfriend or girlfriend. You just know that, right? Somehow in our DNA. Or you don't name it after that school bully. I don't know how teachers ever choose names. You know, John, such a beautiful, yeah, but you remember, oh yeah. And Eugene, Eugene. Yeah, there's something about names. And if you're traveling, if you manage to get out of the country, and if you happen to go to Mumbai, can I ask you please to let them know that it's rather uncouth to have twins in 2020 and name the one COVID and the other Corona. True story. I'm like, what were they thinking? I won't tell you about the child born in the East named Lockdown. Yeah, I know, but they don't. There's something about names, and we kind of get a little bit about it. You know, if maybe you think, hey, one day I want my child to be a DJ, you might give some extra thought to something catchy. But other than that, we don't really carry the weight that we find in Scripture when it says, his name will be called. Because what this means is, he will be bound by. He will covenant to be. These are his attributes, his character. These are the boundary lines that you will find when you meet this son who is born to us, this Christ who is enough. He will be your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so we're going to just spend this morning looking at the very first one, which is Wonderful Counselor. But I want to start with wonderful because I've been in the advertising industry for most of my career. Spent about 25 years working in radio and working on TV and doing. I've got my own production studio, and it's important that you're good with words. There's a wordsmith creating this copy to sell products or whatever the case might be. And if I can just say, in short, that wonderful is not really wonderful, not in the modern context. You know, porridge is wonderful. You would use wonderful like you would use fine and nice. You know, it's very ethereal. It doesn't have much spine to it in our modern context. But in the Bible, it's this word pele. Pele ya'atz, wonderful counselor. And pele, actually, in Hebrew, is one of these words that they would only take out of the top drawer for these big moments, these massive moments of description. Because pele is always used to do with something that is miraculous. When they refer to it as being pele, it has something to do with something that is extraordinary, supernatural, that exceeds your expectations, even exceeds your explanation. So when they're saying pele, counselor, wonderful counselor, this is how one Bible dictionary describes it. It says pele is the word that which requires God as its explanation. That which requires God as its explanation. So now if you take wonderful counselor, this is what it means. It means that Jesus is the type of counselor whose counsel will lead you to the miraculous. Pele ya'atz. Whose counsel is not like, that's interesting, I wouldn't have seen it that way, or, gee, that's food for thought. No. When you lean into the counsel of this wonderful counselor, the result is miraculous. So what he wants to do is he wants to take your mess and he wants to produce a miracle. So it doesn't matter what this mess is. This mess might be 2020. It might be that ugly divorce. It might be the thing that you said to your father when you slammed the door and you said, I will never forgive you. I never want to see you again. It might be that business that's collapsing. It might be trying to navigate the teenage years with your teenager. But if we take that mess and we allow it to encounter this wonderful counselor, if we allow him to speak his word, allow him to give insight, his wisdom, essentially what Isaiah 9 is saying, that mess will encounter the miraculous. Which is why Paul would say that Christ is enough. Now that's just the surface level stuff. Like an iceberg. That's just the stuff you see above the water. It gets even more incredible when we dig a little bit deeper and we actually view it through the lens of a Jew who would hear this for the very first time. Imagine you're in synagogue, or imagine you're at the tabernacle, and one of the high priests get up to read out of Isaiah, and he reads this to you. There's a whole lot more that happens in the Hebrew mind. You see, because this word, because it is used so exclusively of these miraculous encounters with God, to a Hebrew listener, when he hears that his Savior one day will be Pele Ya'atz, a wonderful counselor, he knows that that word Pele is only taken off the top shelf for exclusive, significant moments through their history, standing as fingerprints, like monuments of God's fingerprints all over their history. And so when he hears, or she hears, that this Savior one day will come as a wonderful counselor, this Pele counselor, he will go, hang on a second. Like God was Pele there, he will be to me, yes. And there, to me, yes. And it was a So I want to show you, I just want to pull three of these moments that would have dawned on a Hebrew listener so that you and I can get a better understanding of the framework, the majesty, and the magnitude that is the wonderful counselor. So we're going to start first in Exodus 15. So I'll read it to you. It's actually, these are the words of Moses, and it's actually a song. Quite often we find this word Pele in songs because it's kind of where you get to this place where, you know, you want to floss and you want to double dab and you want to grab your tambourine and your shofar and you want to sing from the mountaintops about this Pele God. And this is Moses doing that. It says in Exodus 15:11, it says, "Who is like the Lord, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders, or always bringing about wonders. So what's happening here is Moses is looking back on his timeline, his very recent history, the last few weeks, maybe months, and he's going, I don't know how to explain it, but I've encountered the miraculous. Pele, yes, I've seen this wonder of God, that which requires God as its explanation. There's actually, if you look in the original Hebrew, there's an emoji there. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, this is true. So he's going like, I don't know how to explain this. I don't understand what has happened. Pele, 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 Pele. See, because what had happened was they had taken their mess to the wonderful counselor. You know the story if you're familiar with Scripture. But I want to point something out to you. It actually starts in Exodus 3 where it says, God says, I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. Okay, so you imagine you're a slave in Egypt. They'd been slaves for generations. And it seems like, it doesn't give us much detail on what they're crying out to God for, but it seems like all they're asking is, God, this slave driver is a chop, help. You know, they didn't cry out because of their slavery, but because of the slave driver. Now, I don't know what they were asking. Maybe the fleas of 1,000 camels, or maybe that the earth would swallow him. Maybe just if I could go one day without getting whipped. If I could just stay home and watch Netflix for one day. I don't know what it was, but it was on a very small scale. And then the wonderful counselor stepped in. And he says, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to call Moses, and I'm going to tell him to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And he's going to take a staff, and he's going to take Aaron. And then the first thing we're going to do is we're going to turn water into wine, into blood. And imagine the guy who's crying out to God for the slave. I don't want blood in my bath. I want blood on his head. But God says, no, no, no. Pele, yeah, it's wonderful. You're going to encounter the miraculous. But first it's going to look like water turned to blood. And then there's going to be frogs. No, no, slave driver. No, no, frogs. And then gnats, and then locusts, and we're going to destroy their financials. And then there's going to be hail, and then there's going to be darkness, and we're going to destroy their infrastructure. And then there's going to be death, and we're going to destroy the next generation. And then I'm going to lead you out, and these guys are going to be so happy to see you go that they're going to be giving you money and sending you off, tra-la-la. And then when their last bit of strength comes against you, I'm going to just open up the Red Sea, let you go through, and the end. But they were asking for their slave drivers. God was planning plagues, the entire nation being destroyed and turned to dust. Not only redemption, but then he plans an inheritance in a promised land that Scripture says they will inherit houses they didn't build, they'll inherit vineyards they didn't plant, barns filled with harvest that they didn't harvest themselves. Because that's what happens when you put your mess in the hand of the miraculous. When you encounter this wonderful counselor. Which begs the question, do you know this Christ who is enough? If I had to look back on my life like Moses was looking back on the last few weeks, would I see Pele, Pele, Pele? Or would I see stupid, selfish, self-centered, short-sighted? And that's the invitation this morning. And that is the promise that when we hand him our mess, when we go to this wonderful counselor, we will encounter the miraculous. I said I'll show you three. That was one. The next one is found in Psalm 89. I want to give you just a little bit of a backdrop because in my Bible, I know you can't see from there, except Pete, he's got fantastic eyes. But in my Bible, just under Psalm 89, I've actually highlighted that little subscript there. Mine says, a song of Ethan the Ezrahite. So this is Psalm 89, is a song of Ethan the Ezrahite. Now normally I don't look at, you know, it's like a maskil of David sung to the tunes of Lilies of the, you know, it's like this random little subscript there. But it caught my interest. And I wondered, who is Ethan the Ezrahite? Now remember, we're talking about a wonderful counselor. Someone who counsels is someone who gives you advice. Someone who's wise, someone who knows better than you how to navigate these situations. Like Psalm 5 says, morning by morning, I lay the pieces of my life on your altar. Here I am, your very invited guest, waiting for direction to get through enemy lines. That's You go to a counselor for that, okay? So you have this guy, Ethan the Ezrahite. This is where he pops up in Scripture. You might know the name Solomon. Solomon is one of David's sons, and he gets anointed king, and now he's facing the job of leading a nation, and he doesn't know what to do. And so he goes and gets on his knees, and he cries out to God for wisdom. He says, God, would you give me wisdom? Because you're the wonderful counselor. And so God, in his favor, because he's so moved by this, God says, you could have asked for pecs like Pete. Now, you could have asked for high-speed internet. You could have asked for me to smite thine enemies, but instead you asked for wisdom. And he's so moved by that, that God says, I will make you the wisest man who has ever lived, even wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite. So this is a guy who's got it together. Now, that's a serious tip of the head in terms of what you have in yourself. But he shows us, as he would have shown the Jews of the ancient Near East, the people of God, and I trust us as well, that it doesn't matter how wise you are, we don't hold a candle to the wonderful counselor. And so he says this of his wonderful counselor. He says, I will sing, this is Psalm 89 verse 1, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known. So he's also looking back. God has said something. He's got, what? No, I want slave drivers. And God has said blood. And he's like, okay, I'm going to trust you. You have made your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. He's like, Pele, Pele, Pele. And here comes the word. In verse 5, I think he's scratching for words. Like, how do you describe this? How do you explain it? And he says this. Verse 5 says, the heavens praise your wonders, Lord. Which literally, word for word, is the heavens confess Pele Yahweh. Pele Yahweh. Because the only way this guy, who is a pretty bright guy, could explain what had happened was Pele. He had encountered the miraculous. And the only way he can bring some sort of understanding of what is going on in his head is he says, I kind of feel the same when I look at the stars. Now we get lost there. And I want to show you why. Why would he look at the stars when he had to find a way to describe what God was doing? I don't know when last you drove to Cape Town. For days, right? The last time I drove there, we were driving a car down for a friend, and it didn't have aircon. It was real. Yeah, first world struggles. It's the other side of the planet, but it's only like that far on the map. Now, I wouldn't imagine driving to Europe. Or how about swimming to New Zealand? I mean, how do we even begin to understand the planets that we're on, let alone the stars? So I'm going to try to help you a little bit, okay? I have in my pocket a peppercorn. That's what I normally bring to church. I don't know about you. Okay. This is peppercorn planet Earth. So if we had to take the Earth and shrink it to a size that us non-Ethan the Ezrahites can understand, and we make it the size of a peppercorn. You've seen one of these before, okay? So this entire planet is this size. Okay. Unfortunately, Pete brought his soccer ball. You can throw it. Thank you. Scrum off. If that was the size of peppercorn planet Earth, it's the size of the sun. You've lost me there already. Because he's saying, Pele, 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 like the stars in the sky. This is the first. I mean, I didn't really pay much attention at school, but apparently this is a ball of nuclear fusion, roughly, give or take, 620 million cubic meters of hydrogen fusing every second. One, two, three, 620 million cubic tons every second. You've lost me, Ethan, the Ezrahite. And God is saying, yeah, God has lost me too, because the only way I can explain that, it requires God as the explanation. And he said, but bring your mess to me. Let me work wonders. But now, there's another dimension that will freak you out, because these are not like this. These are actually Pete. He's going to walk and show you just how far the sun is from peppercorn planet Earth. You're doing well, Pete. and about there. Okay, Pete, hold up the sun for us. Yeah, perfect, right there. Okay. No wonder it takes 8 minutes for light traveling the speed of light. Okay, stay there, Pete. The next star. So tonight, if the clouds clear and you look up at the stars, using the same scale, the closest one, which is rather dim, you might not be able to see it with the naked eye, but the next one, if I had to give this star, Alpha Centauri, to Anthea, she'd have to climb on a plane and fly to Sydney, Australia. That is the closest star, other than our sun, to peppercorn planet Earth on that scale. How do we even begin to understand this God who says, it's okay, I've got this? How do we begin to understand this God who says, "This, I've got an opinion on your marriage. I know the way through. Peppercorn planet Earth." One last freak. I read recently, they discovered a super black hole. And if we had to use the same scale of peppercorn planet Earth, super black hole would be roughly, my calculator ran out of zeros, I had to go online. The black hole would be about the size of our Earth compared to the size. There's this thing called spaghettification, which happens when you get that close to that thing. Look it up, it's a thing. And so Ethan the Ezraite goes, says, when I look at what you have done, your faithfulness to your word, thanks, Pete. When I look at this, the only way I can describe it, it blows my mind like the heavens, like the stars. The heavens confess, Pele Yahweh. And he was pretty bright. You can imagine me, a bluff boy. So, now, I labor this point because I actually want to lean on the very last illustration. I want you to get an understanding. I want you to grasp the magnitude of this wonderful counselor. Because this wonderful counselor whispers your name. He wants your heart. He wants you to know how much he loves you. Scripture says he sets his affections on you. This Pele, mind-boggling God says, I love you. And you say, not me. You don't know my past. You don't know my pain. You don't know my sin. You don't know the depths of the wickedness inside me. You don't want this. I got a friend, he's Canadian. He was telling me about how his great-great-grandfather used to hunt wolves as a young boy. They would do what they called lamb lollipops. They would take a blade and they would sharpen this blade until it was razor, razor sharp. And then they would dip it in lamb's blood and fat. Now, you know, Canada in summer is like minus 50 degrees Celsius. So you sort of dip it and you got this lollipop. And then they would plant the lollipop like poles around their farms, like a fence around their farms. And then they'd go to bed at night and they'd wake up in the morning and harvest wolves. Because the wolf in the middle of the night would smell this fragrance. Fresh lamb stick ice lollies, and would come and would do what wolves do. Here you found this treasure chest, you know, Uber Eats for days, and they would begin licking. And because it's so cold and because it's so delicious, they would lick and lick and lick. Eventually, all they can feel is the numbness of their tongues. And by the time they lick through the ice and they reach the blade slices through their tongue. And now, all of a sudden, it's warm and it's fresh and it's dripping off them, and their pleasure ends the threat to their livestock. They eventually drown in their own blood, bleed out and die in the snow. And in the morning, it's wolf handbags and wolf slippers. And then he said, that is the best description he can give for sin. Just a lick. Just one look, just a click. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. Just one relationship you refuse to forgive, just one offense, and it begins to manifest like a wolf inside of you, and the enemy has you. And so the Bible says in Romans 7, it says, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And the next verse says, the wonderful counselor. You see, because wonderful counselor is actually a legal term. It's not just that God wants to give advice. It's that God wants to fight on your behalf like an advocate. It's like, it's okay, I've got this. Your Honor, have you considered this? He wants to step into your corner. And the reason why I tell you about this wonderful counselor and I use the planets and the stars for you to understand is because he and he alone can take the field against your sin. There is no one who can come against sin because it will finish you as it is already doing, like this poison, like that wolf licking that lollipop until he is dead. And so the third scripture where we find this wonderful counselor is in Isaiah 25, and it says the following. It says, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you will do pele things. Things planned long ago. The Bible actually talks about before the foundation of the world, he had planned to come to your rescue. He had planned to come as your advocate to fight this fight on your behalf. And then he describes what these things are. He says, on this mountain, talking about Golgotha, Calvary, the place where Jesus was nailed to the cross, on this mountain he will destroy the burial shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from every face. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. Look at this. The Lord has spoken. This is his counsel to you. This is what he's done. He said, can I counsel you? Give me your stuffs. Bring me your sin. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. We trusted in his counsel. And his counsel is this. Bring me your mess. I will make it miraculous. Just ask the person next to you. The greatest miracle, the greatest that we can refer to as being Pele, is when we came face to face with our wickedness, with our sin, with our guilt and our shame, and we encountered this wonderful counselor who said, give it to me. Let me set you free. You cannot take the battlefield against your own sin. Christ has to be enough. You can't add to it. You cannot take from it. Christ is enough. So you're here this morning, and I want to ask you, do you know this Jesus? Do you know this wonderful counselor? Or is he a taskmaster who stands from afar telling you how you failed? Do you know this Jesus of the Bible who says, bring me your mess. I want to work miracles. More importantly, have you ever given him your mess? If not, I want to close in prayer and I want to give you a moment where you can do just that. So let's pray. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to come to the front. But you do have to surrender to this wonderful counselor. So however that is in your heart, maybe it's just to acknowledge in your heart right now that your life is a mess, that your past is a mess, that you've tried as hard as you can to be good. You've tried to be nice. You've tried to forgive. You've tried to stop licking, but the more you lick, the more you're consumed by your sin. I don't know what it means to you. But the Bible tells us that if we simply acknowledge that what Jesus did on the cross, if we confess that he is Lord, which means that he has overcome everything, that he has taken to the field against your sin and conquered it on the cross, and we confess with our mouths that he is Lord, believing in our hearts. The Bible says that we're saved. We're saved from our mess. We encounter the greatest moment of the miraculous ever. So if it's you, I want to pray for you. Father, you know what's going on in our hearts. You know where we are in our lives. You know our history, our past, our shame. Lord, I pray
that through bringing understanding to just one thread of the supernatural, unprecedented, unexplainable God that you are, I pray through this thin thread of understanding that you would move on our hearts. And those hearts that now are open to you, those who are here saying, I need you, I desperately, desperately need you. From those who have never cried out to you for forgiveness of their sins, who've never come to you and said, Lord, instead of drowning in my blood, would you bathe my sin in your blood? Those who've never come to you and acknowledged their need for a Savior, would you move on their hearts this morning? Would you take their sin? Would you set them free? Would you adopt them into your family? Wonderful Counselor, may today be the day of Pele, that which requires God as its explanation. And Father, for those of us who are just simply in the ravaging mess of 2020, maybe left hopeless with work and marriage and kids and futures and finances and stress and strain, we too want to bring you our mess. Would you counsel us, Lord? Would you give us direction through enemy lines? Would you show us the next step? May we quieten our hearts. Maybe the next step, like those Israelites in Egypt, is something so completely other that it doesn't make any sense. But I pray that you'd give us the faith to do that. Give us the faith to put our mess in your hands and to leave it there and to wait for the miracle-working Pele Counselor to show us the next step to take. Pray for your people, Father. Would you love on them? Would you draw close to them? Would you whisper their name in the heavenlies as you unfold the future that you have for us? Take us out of 2020, not into 2021, but into a renewed revelation, the understanding that Christ really is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.